Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to my program, Here, There, and Everywhere. This is Watcher Ruth, coming to you on 12/27/2012. Hallelujah, we survived the Mayan catastrophic bunch of nonsense. We made it. Nibiru hasn't gotten here yet. We haven't seen the pole shift, and we're standing on this earth another morning and able and willing to worship our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Yamashiach, our great, great Creator God. And we want to say thank you for getting us through another Christmas season. Boy, it was hard for me to tell people in my little business out in Estacada, Oregon, that I didn't really celebrate Christmas. They would look at me with a crooked eye like I was some kind of nightmare in their house. Anyway, boy, paganism is really crept in. And another thing that's crept into our lives insidiously is been pointed out to me yesterday in reference to my own self. Actually, I have a small business in Estacada, as I said, and I cut hair, and I have the opportunity to meet a very diverse group of people, and many of them are pretty doggone insightful. I had a gentleman yesterday come in by the name of Don, hallelujah, from the Barton Baptist Church, and kind of set my ducks in a row and straightened them out a little bit. And I've been so overwhelmed by all the news, the death and destruction that Satan's been able to yield all over the world, and it's just been overwhelming me, as I'm sure it's overwhelming most of us, but he kind of set me straight and told me I needed to repent, that I need to go in my prayer closet and pray and ask for forgiveness, because the Lord Creator God still sits on His throne. And excuse me, if we don't believe that, we're questioning Him, and we're like a ship that's traveling without a rudder, just going back and forth. So we want to take that pridefulness away, take it away from us and out of our hearts, and know that with every marching step forward through this battle, that we need to look to Jesus Christ and His Father, the wisest of them all, and His Holy Spirit is left here with us to strengthen and renew us every day. I wanted to read today from the book of Obadiah, but before I do that, I want to read out of a different Bible than I normally read out of, and this is the Living Bible. It's paraphrased, and it comes from Tyndale House Publishing. I find it a pretty nice Bible when compared to the King James. It's a little easier to understand and has basically the same content. So I'm going to go with Psalms 52. You call yourself a hero, do you? You boast about this evil deed of yours against God's people? You are sharp as a tack in plotting your evil tricks. How you love wickedness far more than good, and lying more than the truth. You love to slander, you love to say anything that will do harm, O man, with the lying tongue. But God will strike you down and pull you down from your home and drag you away from the land of the living. The followers of God will see it happen. They will watch in awe, and then they will laugh at you and say, see what happens to those who despise God and trust in their own wealth and become ever more bold in their wickedness. But I am like a sheltered olive tree, protected by the Lord Himself. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. O Lord, I will always praise you forever and ever for your punishment. And I will wait for your mercies, for everyone knows what a merciful God you really are. Psalms 53. Only a fool would say to himself, there is no God. Why does he say it? Because of his wicked heart, his dark and evil deeds? His life is corroded with sin, and God looks down from heaven, searching among all of mankind to see if there is a single one who does right and really seeks for God. But all have turned their backs on him. They're filthy with sin, corrupt and rotten through and through. No, not one is good. No, not one. How can this be? Can't they understand anything? For they devour my people like bread and refuse to come to God. But soon, unheard of terror will fall on them. God will scatter the bones of these, your enemies, for they are doomed. God has rejected them. Oh, that God would come from Zion now and save Israel. Only when the Lord himself restores them can they ever really be happy again. And I'm going to read I thought I had it right here, but I think I missed and lost it real quick. All right, let me go ahead and go to the book of Obadiah. In a vision of the Lord, God showed Obadiah the future of the land of Edom, which is basically where we're looking at politically right now. Syria, Libya, Egypt, Israel, Iraq, Iran. A report has come from the Lord, he said, that God has sent an ambassador to the nations with this message, attention. You are to send your armies against Edom and destroy her. I will cut you down to size among the nations, Edom, making you small and despised. You're proud because you live in those high, inaccessible cliffs. Who can never reach us way up here? You boast, but don't fool yourselves. Though you soar as high as an eagle and build your nest among the stars, I will bring you plummeting down, said the Lord. Far better it would be for you if thieves had come at night to plunder you, for they would not take everything. Or if your vineyards were robbed of all their fruit, for at least the gleaners would have left something for you. But now, every nook and cranny will be searched and robbed, and every treasure found, and they will all be taken. And your allies will turn against you and help to push you out of the land. They will promise peace while plotting your destruction, your trusted friends. They're going to set traps for you, and all your counter strategies, they're going to fail. And in that day, there were not one wise man left in all of the cities of Edom, said the Lord, for I will fill the wise men of Edom with stupidity. The mightiest soldiers of Teman will be confused. I don't like Teman. Teman is a really bad guy. To prevent the slaughter. And why? Because of what you did to your brother, Israel. Now your sins will be exposed for all to see, ashamed and defenseless. You will be cut off forever, for you deserted Israel in this time of need. You stood aloof, refusing to lift a finger to help him. When the invaders were carrying off his wealth and dividing Jerusalem among them, you were one of his enemies. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have gloated when they took him far away to foreign lands. You should not have rejoiced in the day of his misfortune when you should have not mocked in his time of need. You yourselves went into the land of Israel and in the day of his calamity and looted him. You made yourselves rich at his expense. You stood at the crossroads and killed those trying to escape. You captured the survivors and returned them to their enemies, that in terrible times of his distress, the Lord's vengeance will soon fall upon all Gentile nations. As you have done to Israel, so will it be done to you. Your axe will be like a boomerang right on your head. You drank my cup of punishment upon my holy mountain, and the nations around about will drink it too. Yes, they're going to drink and stagger back and disappear from history. There will no longer nations anymore, but Jerusalem will become a refuge, a way of escape. Israel will reoccupy the land. Israel will be a fire that sets the dry fields of Edom aflame. There will be no survivors, for the Lord has spoken it. Then my people who live in the Negev shall occupy the hill country of Edom. Those living in Jerusalem, in Judean lowlands, shall possess the Philistine plains and repossess the fields of Ephraim and Samaria. And the people of Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The Israeli exiles shall return and occupy the Phoenician coastal strip as far north as Zarephath. Those exiled in Asia Minor shall return to their homeland, and the conqueror of the Negev outlying villages. For the deliverers will come to Jerusalem and rule all of Edom, and the Lord shall be their king. So we're looking at the Obadiah prophecy right now going on in the world, is my opinion. And we can't really change the scripture, we clearly understand. But we do know that we have our Lord Creator as our Redeemer and our Protector. So knowing that, we have to put away our prideful hearts and lean not on your own understanding, preparing for the day of the Lord to come, but always having faith that Jesus is going to take care of us. wanted to read a prophecy that I wrote on my online blog, which is truthwaker at blogger.com. And my name is Truth Seeker Watcher. This was written on July the 31st of 2012. And I wrote this after a very dear friend had confirmed some information that I had come to understand, and it was kind of a key to knowledge that totally turned my life upside down and probably will turn everyone's life upside down that understands it. So, I learned a truth, a magic key. The key explains a lot. They hold not the truths that should be evident. I speak a truth, and you call it a lie. There are near things that have been far away, growing in strength, and if you only have awareness, no mocker will arrive when the near things are here. The watchers, those who wish to assimilate me, not made in the image of God, without soul and spirit, in an hour whose season is upon us. They like to swarm and devour, to tear the flesh from children's bones, broken and placed in the pot. From the deep and from far, they will be the near thing, the watchers, fallen and sentenced. I know who you are because I know the truth and do not speak a lie. The father of Cain, O Satan, deceives me not. You are of no temptation to me. So round up your minions. The time is near. That which was once far away is now here. No son of Satan will separate me. Let those who rebel now continue to rebel. Let those whose names are written in the book of life continue to be the hands and the feet. Winter is over. Spring is here. And the turtle dove sings. Let no one wake my love until the appointed time. Then arrayed in a white robe of righteousness awaits those whose names are there of the rock. With a new name, no one knows but God. I see there, Tyrus, your haughtiness, O Baal. But your days of blood rain is being shortened. Your thoughts, they are his plan from the very beginning. You know, he winked at your haughtiness, glistening, slithering, transformed into light for the day. But you shall return to darkness when the light shines, for your time has become very short. I am ready. Are you? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? The day of the Lord is at hand. Have a few more minutes, and I'd like to continue to read from my blog here. This was written Wednesday, April 11th, 2012. It's called Den of Common Thieves. The question is, how does a group of really rich guys who have all the money they want get high? Well, they seek power, because there's nothing else to go for. If you have every need met material-wise, then what's left? If you thought that all the poor were going to deplete the earth of all the sweetness within, and you had all the money and the power to put the kibosh on that, what would you do? We have a prison here in Oregon. They call it Wapato. No one has ever been put there. They say it stays closed because of the budget. But I suspect there's a little more grim reason for the state of the art jailhouse. Just in case we're unclear, it's no mystery. Because they, the Georgia Guidestones, dictate the future. In Germany, they had re-education camps, right? Fall in line, be re-educated, or go to Wapato. I am, as many others, being monitored by people who seek to silence the voice of dissenters. If the banks can relocate the sheeple to city areas, they can reclaim these rural areas of the world and prevent us, goyim, from mucking it up and ruining it for them. Look it up. Look up, goyim. The money changers have a cave to hide in. Do you? The Bank of England owns the U.S. They are the new world order. They fabricate value falsely so they can lure you into deep debt, offering you big returns. Then they pop the bubble when you sheeple cannot qualify, because they, the bankers, have changed all the rules to give them, the bankers, the advantage. They offer to let you give the title to your home to them and then rent. They are now your overlord. We are on our way to a feudal system. If you do not know what a feudal system is, then I suggest you educate yourself to our new economy. As the TV host are required to say. The truth is, we've been on this track for a long time. Texas sells a major highway to Spain for 50 years. They get to charge us, U.S. citizens, whatever they want, to use this highway for the next 50 years. Wow, super decision giving it back to Spain for 50 years. You know, this is the banks, the new world order. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Look towards Jesus Christ. You know, every time I feel overwhelmed by the world and troubled by the world, and I'm looking around me seeing people that just have no idea what's coming up in the future here very soon, I would suspect that our great fearless leader will, on New Year's Eve, sign in executive order as many evil plans that can possibly be conceived of. The ink will not be dry when the year changes on the UN, our president agreeing to the UN that we're going to be arms free in this country. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, that we may end up in a situation that just beyond what we really even can think of. I have a few more minutes, and I pulled out another scripture, so I'm going to read as quickly through this as I can. And this comes from Isaiah 53. But oh, how few believe it. Who will listen? To whom will God reveal his saving power? In God's eyes, he was like a tender green shoot sprouting from a root in a dry and sterile ground. But in our eyes, there was no attractiveness at all, nothing to make us want him. We despised him and rejected him, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterness and grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our grief he bore, our sorrows that he weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment for God for his own sins. But he was wounded and bruised for our sins. He was chastened that we might have peace. He was lashed and we were healed. We are the ones who strayed away like sheep. We are who left God's path to follow our own. Yet God laid on him the guilt and the sins of every one of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he never laid a word. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the shearer and is dumb. So he stood silent before the ones condemning him. From prison and trial they led him away to his death. But who among the people of that day realized it was their sin that he was dying for? That he was suffering for their punishment. He was buried like a criminal in a rich man's grave, but he had done no wrong. He had never spoken an evil word, yet it was the Lord's good plan to bruise him and fill him with grief. But when his soul had been made an offering for sin, then he shall have a multitude of children and many heirs. He shall live again, and God's program shall prosper in his hand. And when he sees all that is accomplished by the anguish of his soul, he shall be satisfied. And because of what he has experienced, my righteous servant shall make many to be counted righteous before God, for he shall bear all of their sins. Therefore, I will give him the honor of one who is mighty and great, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was counted as a sinner and bore the sins of many, and he pled with God for the sinners. So break forth and sing out in loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, because you have been abandoned no more. Your Creator, your husband, your Holy Host is his name. He's your Redeemer, your Holy One, God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief, a young wife abandoned by her husband. Hallelujah. See you tomorrow, family. God bless you all. Thanks for listening.